Inside COVID-19 from BizNews. One of the most popular of our podcasts of the past month was with Dr. Joe Barnes from Stellenbosch University, an epidemiologist. The people who are not very popular, that's part of going in there and shaking things up. But also at the moment, we've got lots of economists who are saying the epidemiologists made huge mistakes by overestimating the impact of this coronavirus. I'm sure you must be thrown that many times. How do you respond to that kind of a criticism?
You know, when I started out university, I did a degree in mathematics. And we used to say that economists were designed to make the weather forecasters look good. So I could retort, let's start off there. Number one, I don't think anybody, economist, any kind of scientist, epidemiologist, would have been able to do any better given the data that were available to us at the beginning of the outbreak. In fact, before the outbreak even started in South Africa, we learn as we go along about the many, many versions and varieties of scenarios that this virus can present us with. And the geographical differences around the world. So I don't blame the epidemiologists. Unfortunately, disease data are not like market-related information. It's got a much, much larger error margin around anything. And if anything, it's usually an undercount.
Well, the one good thing in South Africa is that the published mortality rate is very low relative to other parts of the world. Have you any thoughts on why this would be so?
I have a feeling that part of that mortality rate is an undercount. I do have a feeling that in more rural areas, in areas where the hospitals are completely falling apart and struggling, not all of them are certified. I do know we have a desperate situation with the testing. So why would you test a dead person to make sure that there wasn't COVID on board, because they don't even have enough tests for the living? The National Health Laboratory Service is just about doing about half, if not less, than what the private sector's load is carried at the moment. So yes, but the other factor in there, and I really take my hat off to them wherever they possibly can, is we still have a very sophisticated top end of the health services. And that's not only private. There are some fantastic individuals serving, working their fingers to the bone in humane hours to try and save people. But we also have gotten better at saving lives. As we learned more, we managed to pull many of them through. But Alec, I'm worried about that in a way, because we are totally unprepared for the large number of people who will come out of this alive but impaired. Some will be
impaired. What do you mean by that?
This virus attacks people's nervous systems. Some of them come out of there with a permanent, what they call a brain fog. They can't remember. They're poorly orientated. They fall over at the least. They have very poor balance. Some recover, others simply don't. Others have had really serious cardiovascular damage. Some have had kidney damage and damage to the gut. A number of people will come out of there certainly not really able to function on their own again. And where will we care for them? Even before we went into this crisis, we have very poor care for the elderly and the impaired. It's now going to get worse. And I don't hear a word about that anywhere. Nobody's thought that far.
I certainly haven't heard that being raised in conversation. And perhaps it's because we are so early into this pandemic that we haven't really looked beyond what's going to occur then. But is there evidence for this then, that those who get COVID-19?
It comes from overseas, a lot of places. People have said, also many people are so extremely tired that it's going to take them 6 months or more because it has affected the blood and circulation, and as I say, the neurological integrity of the brain and so on. It's worse than like a yuppie flu, if I can put it like that. And they are not able to function. And now your listeners and readers would be very interested to know or think about the massive impact on the economy if all of these people are withdrawn from what they had done before? If it takes them 6 months, even at least they recover, but what about the percentage? And we don't know how much percentage you are permanently impaired. Also think about the oxygen for that brain had, who needed oxygen support, and some of that damage is irreversible. So just to take a nod to the economists who are probably now starting to get nervous again, we are still in the dark when it comes to how much damage will it do across a population. But we're doing our best. This is probably the biggest wake-up call I've ever seen across the globe for not pinching off money around every corner for health services, because it's going to bite you, and it has. It has bitten us. We're keeping track of the numbers of this one far, far better than anything else we've ever done before.
Is there any bright light somewhere? Any bit of positivity you can share?
Yes. Yes, I do think that there are a lot of very arrogant, very opinionated people who are starting to learn things that they wouldn't have admitted before. Now, there's a damnable thing called saving face. They wouldn't admit it. I don't care about them admitting it or not, as long as they start learning the lessons. And I do think South Africa is in a better situation than, for instance, Brazil. Or, for that matter, the US. Yes, the scenario is grabbing us by the throat at the moment, but I promise you, South Africa will survive. And hopefully not in the shape that is in now. As long as we keep our government from making control councils and having two sets of power in all sorts of places, we now have a town council and a control council, and some of the people are sitting on both, and when it suits them, they chuck it over here, and when it doesn't suit them, they talk from that side of their mouth. That is nonsensical. That center cannot hold. But I have huge trust in South Africans. They are the most practical people. You don't sell them a lemon for a long time. So yes, I think we would be able to get through here. I'm just mourning the hard road that it's going to take to go there.
Inside COVID-19 from BizNews.